Welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
So you just heard, we opened the whole thing up with The Will of One by the Proto Men. Fun fact, I'm bad at this whole radio making thing.
Yes, you are.
Wow, you really serious all of a sudden?
Sorry, was I not supposed to agree with you?
No, it's fine.
Why'd you tell them what you did?
Here's what I did. So in this, look, radio stations are complicated. There's lots of whiz-bang buttons and levers and pushy-pullies. And all of them do a special thing. Two of them in this room control how loud we are.
He forgot to move a slider up.
Only on yours, though.
On my mic, excuse
me. So I'm naturally a loud mouth. And we have a lot of computers here that effects that make our voices bassier. Normally, we smell. And we sound like small children. But with technology, we're able to add bass. I can only do so much, though. I'm very loud, and you were very, very, very quiet.
Yeah.
So a lot of these jokes have sort of been rehearsed, I guess.
Yes.
Except
Let's
this
go.
One. This is very serious.
So now I have a couple of basemen, and one of them is on first. Let's go ahead and do this bit.
Thanks. I wrote all of these down now.
So basically the gist of what we talked about other nonsense last time, so we didn't lose much of anything.
Right.
So basically, we're going to play two songs, and you yelled at me for not knowing what the Proto Men was.
Yeah, we opened up with The Will of One, and you don't know, you've never listened to the Proto Men because we found out that
I don't know any of what you play.
And you said, you leave the music to me.
Yes.
Which is probably why we've had the same music
you
for a couple of years.
You just say words.
And
I have no idea what this is.
Here's Rocket Man by the Happenstances. We're going to play the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. It's like, and
Dustin's
like,
already thinking about, like, what if I caught all the Pokemon? What would happen?
What would Professor Oak say then?
Right. I bring him in and he's just like, that's a lot of damn Pokemon right
that
here.
That bird is far away, kind of. But that.
Did you know the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell?
I don't know what songs you're playing because I'm kind of an old school guy. I'm like Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Leonard Skinner, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, you know, Dio.
Just not geek music.
Just not geek music. And then I'll listen, of course, No Doubt. I'd love No Doubt and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't know that that's geek music either.
I don't think that's
California
geek
music.
But when I did my solo show, I grabbed that music because I was like, oh, this is music I had. Oh, some of those songs I'd heard before that they were brought into trailers. I did a solo show a couple weeks ago.
Two or three weeks ago, yeah.
And the music I played was from music. Thank you. The music I played was from game trailers.
Right.
Because that's the music I know. And like you can kind of get kind of a jazzy vibe from everything. And I ended the show with both the songs from Borderlands, which I was.
I know. I was like, this is Cage the Elephant. What is he doing?
Yeah, Cage the Elephant.
I'm like, oh, he probably heard it in the Borderlands intro.
Yeah. But all that, it's kind of cheating a little bit. But that music I know. But your music, I don't know
my music.
The only song I picked out that I've actively been like, let's play this one, was the Super Mario Odyssey theme.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only one I'm like, dude, we got to do this one.
Oh, my God. I love this.
That was the only one. Have I ever made any of the requests?
No, you've been very easygoing when it comes to music. I know.
I came into the room and kicked down the door. I was like, we gotta listen.
All of the previous co-hosts, and this isn't a slam on them or whatever, and it's not a slam on you, but all the previous co-hosts have always been like, hey, let's play this League of Legends remix that I found. Hey, let's play this out. You know, let's play Ken Ashcore. And, you know, I was like, okay, cool, because I only know what I know, and then I can only spend so much time looking and listening to new stuff. So
yeah, I'm more content because I'm clueless with that kind of stuff, and to gather that kind of knowledge, I'm too far behind, so there's not much I can do. I'm more content driven. Like, hey, I want to talk about this.
That's okay. That's okay.
So
we welcome it. We've got some content. That's good. We're not just this was
segue.
We have some content, but we're going to tell you about it after two of these songs that Dustin doesn't listen to and won't know.
It's Blip Blap by the Shoopity Poop, and then you could do Get Swifty. I know that one.
We've done Get Swifty, but the problem. So here's one thing. I guess we could talk about this because we have time. It's difficult. Something I've always done, at least in public radio, but I'm sure in commercial radio, I would do the same thing if I ever had the chance. That's not on like Sirius XM or some, you know, red band available sort of radio station where you can just curse and do whatever.
Pirate radio, yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't like censoring music. And we've played some uncensored songs here.
On accident.
On accident, but even there's like we have a the show is very sophomoric. I mean, we've got some prime time ability from 9 to 10, so the kiddies that normally stay up in the middle of the day listening to public radio probably went to bed already.
Right,
so
we can't say the George Carlin words, but we can.
We can get close though. We could say Flip and Filth, and we could do the Bill Cosby version, but not the recent Bill Cosby version, no. The like himself version.
There's just silence and muffled as you're drug across the floor.
Yes,
while you hear. Hold on.
I'm gonna do it for him. Stop. Please, no. I hope the effects that
I
hope the level effects don't just make that very loud and weird. Or maybe I hope it does. I don't know.
Just close your eyes.
Well,
and that's the experience.
What a monster. Anyway, I don't like censoring music. So
oh, that's what we're talking about.
We've played some songs out there that might say a choice word here, a choice word there, and it's sort of like it's the one word that would make like a movie PG-13.
Something like that.
I've talked to the general manager of the station, and he's like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, good.
You know, maybe keep it light.
Keep it light. You know, don't do it every song, don't do it every show, but it was fine. So I don't like playing songs like Get Swifty, because I would have to openly go through and edit that song.
Yeah.
And I don't like putting like beep, like the tone in there. I don't like doing the tone. I like reversing it, because typically by doing that, it's like, you know, like you like put the reverse in there
and
it'll keep the beat most of the time.
Yeah.
You could also try to like go and use the karaoke effect in After Effects or something.
Yeah.
And that'll sort of do it, but... After Effects, Audition.
Yeah.
That'll sort of do it sometimes, where it'll take the center channel out, and that's usually the voice channel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it doesn't work, then you're spending a lot of time. Then it's a time thing, where it's like, how much time do I spend editing this stuff?
Yeah, how much enjoyment are people going to get out of the umpteenth helping of Get Swifty?
Right. And we start playing. I think it's funnier. We've done this before, where we start playing something that everybody that is in the know knows that it's about to get, like, really vulgar, and then we just cut to some other song. We, like, Rickroll or something.
Yeah.
And we've done that a couple times, at least in the past, and then we'll say, oh yeah, if you want to hear that, you know, go online, use the internet, use a search engine or something,
Google it.
I could
how lazy are we that we're just like, Google it,
you know?
How dare we expose you to new things.
I remember that I used to way back in the day, I could geek out about like the history and like the building of this show for a long time. We have a segment,
and speaking of history, we got a something later in the show I want to talk about that's really neat about history, about games and stuff like
about
that.
About gaming history,
segue kind.
We used to build Spotify playlists of all the music that we had in the show.
Oh, wow.
And post that in the show notes so that if you wanted to listen along, because we cut out the music. That's why it takes so long to edit it. Now, granted, it's been over a year. I get it. We should have edited things already.
Yeah.
But if we could just post the shows live... Like
that'd
fully,
be cool.
We could do that. Well, maybe if you talk to the general manager, see if we could do that.
I like to
because
do
at that point,
like that.
You know, we would just make MP3s, mono MP3s of them for saving space and throw them up there, and you'd be able to listen along with us. We might do that. That would definitely get us to be able to post in way, way faster.
We'll have to see about that. But do you want to cut to those
let's
songs?
Let's do songs. This is "Gaming Ain't No Game" by Andrew Volp. He's the lead singer of Ludo. We played a lot from Ludo. Come on, man. And then he's looking at me. He's like, yeah, tell me more bands. I don't know.
My mouth is very open.
And then Internet Medley by the Gag Quartet. We'll catch you after the break, where we talk about more stuff on the show. This is the Experience Points radio show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
Just heard "Let Internet Medley" by the Gag Quartet before that. "Gaming Ain't No Game" by Andrew Volp. Dustin, what'd you do last week?
I watched Nintendo at E3. That's
nice.
What I did last week. Finishing up E3 kind of thing. I knew we recorded our last E3 episode on a Tuesday, and I think the next day... Or that day, no.
That very day,
Nintendo was still going through all their stuff.
Yeah, we actually
like
recorded
that.
It. Nintendo was in the midst of finishing or in the middle of their thing.
Yeah,
while
they were right
in
the middle of it. So we couldn't really do anything about them. And then the next 3 days after that, I believe, were the rest of everybody else. The smaller guys got their showroom stuff and everything like that and showing everything off. So there's only a couple of things I want to talk about. Nintendo, bringing it, like, they're just showing off good titles. They're their game plan's pretty simple. Support the Switch.
Yeah.
That's the testing ground of the Switch was, will this system sell? Will it make up for Wii U? And holy Lord.
Check. It did.
Check it did. It's done did.
And by several powers of
oh, yeah.
Several. Yeah.
I got mine in my bag right now. So Nintendo was just like, all right, focus on support for the Switch. They showed off a little bit of Pikachu. Let's go Pikachu. Let's go Eevee. I think yeah. it's called like that.
You know what? We'll circle back to that. Go ahead.
But the big ones, the big two, Mario Party.
I loved what they were doing with that.
That looks like the originals.
Yes.
Mario Party 2 and 3, going right back to the goofy minigame kind of yeah. thing, using the peripheral in a – I know what you like.
I love the multi-switch usability.
That, I think – I was wondering if the Switch could do something like that, and I'm so happy they're finally addressing
it. I would want them to sell something, and this is just me being an OCD crazy person. I would want them to sell bumpers to put in the Joy-Con slots to raise it up so there's like these little rubber bumpers.
Yeah.
Or these little skittable, like, I don't know, plastic pieces that just keep the back of the Switch from being on the table.
Yeah,
so you can kind of move them around easier, like these little skates, kind of like, you know, like mouse skates or something.
Oh no, yeah, like
yeah, and that'll protect the contacts for the Joy-Cons. And
I can see somebody hitting and slide it off right off the table.
Maybe that's a new thing. Maybe you have like a bumper car. You put your Switch in and you throw it, and it's curling all of a sudden.
That sounds like a bad idea for a bunch of reasons, Matt, and I don't think I need to tell you why.
The Wii controllers went through TVs.
Yeah, but that was bad, though.
Yeah, but they still did it. I'm just saying, like...
What are you talking about?
All I'm saying is that if Nintendo made a way to throw your Switch down a flat hallway without breaking it, and that somehow became a game...
Hold on. That second part is the most crucial reason of why not to do it.
Without breaking it.
Right. How?
And they put it in a bubble or something. I told you they
put it in a bubble.
Like they put in a little bumper car thing.
Just put your child in a hamster cage and let him roll around with the system and he's fine. He's good.
As long as the kid can't fall on his head. Yeah, why not?
It's super monkey
exercise.
Ball for childs. But I was watching the rest of that, kind of keeping up with the smaller guys and the smaller developers and stuff like that.
Well, hold on. The second game.
Second game that, of course, that was the big one and they knew it was Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
We'll pull out the pages and pages and pages of characters.
Good Lord. All of them.
All of them. 70-something characters,
70-something
right?
characters.
It's like Infinity War if it was in a game.
No kidding. The only one everyone's freaking out about that's not in there is Waluigi. He's not in there.
Why not?
I don't know why. He's on the wayside.
Why him?
I don't know why not. So,
your Waluigi's so good. Your Waluigi's so good.
And this is like, yeah, I love doing that. Yeah, I love doing Mario and Luigi arguing with each other, like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, nothing much. And he's like, I love that.
I love it so much.
But the he's not in it, but Ultimate, that's what we concentrate on, who's not in it, is one person's Waluigi.
Right.
But literally, the roster is insane.
Yeah.
And the amount of features, they're very feature-oriented, because if they just said there's a bunch of characters in it, that would have catered to the... Super Smash has a bizarrely competitive crowd, and they seem to recognize that.
That was sort of an understatement that you just said.
No,
like,
I'm sorry. That's like saying the Atlantic Ocean is damp.
Right. Like
they are hyper-competitive.
Not to overstate it, but I don't know, like, you know, okay, CSGO is a pretty big game. Halo's a pretty big game. Fortnite currently, any battle royale game is a pretty competitive game. Smash is a religion.
Yeah,
it's to the point where, and people are like, no, I play Smash on Nintendo 64. No, I play Smash on the Wii. No, it's GameCube only for me. No, I play it on the Wii, but I use GameCube controllers, but not WaveBirds. Also, I play what's the custom one? Project M.
Yeah, that's a Project M. That's a Wii. It's on Wii.
But it's like a hacked one.
It's kind of a hack thing, a balancing thing. But they showed off a lot of like how like mechanics have changed in such a deep way that like they knew who they were talking to. Like, you know, you can dash in the air and kind of do this and kind of do that, but you can only do like this and that and that. So I could tell that the Smash community is already like taking notes. And
some
scrolling.
Elitist jerks out there is just like, we've calculated the physical composition of the perfect move set for these characters.
You're jesting?
I'm not.
But he is not.
I am not.
People are out there doing that, and I was like, oh man, they're going to make
10 out of 10, 100% truth.
This game's going to be not fun for me. Like, there's going to be such a level of immersion.
I don't want to be a dirty casual, But I am.
I am.
Compared
I just
to
wanna,
nearly every other player out there.
I just want to play this, have fun, and drink beer with my friends.
Well, so do you have a Pro Controller?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're already one step of the way there. Like, okay. You need a Pro Controller because the Joy-Cons aren't going to do it.
No, there's no way.
And unless there's a way to somehow use two Joy-Cons, one in each hand, to control the players and using all the buttons. And I mean even the two buttons in the middle. You have this weird caterpillar grip that you have on your Joy-Cons.
You're just like, I'm a grown man. I can't do this.
Right. Versus the Pro Controller, which is
actually
a controller. Yes. Yes.
But that Nintendo, they were showing off some stuff. They had their thing. Then it was everybody else. They didn't say anything about the new Metroid Prime. They know they announced it. There was some cross thing with Ubisoft, I think, with some game.
They did.
Where you can make
Starlink.
Your own little. Yeah, that's
Starlink,
like you can make your own little plane.
They include Star Fox on the Switch.
Right, and that was pretty much it from Nintendo, I think. Yeah. Am I missing anything?
There was Donkey Kong DLC, I think, for a game out there.
Raving Rabbits.
Yeah.
They announced that, which I own, and I love that game.
Donkey Kong DLC.
XCOM for Children is what that's called.
It is. Totally what it is.
Because you don't have the pain of losing your staff sergeant.
Right.
That you've gone through 12 operations just holding his corpse like, no!
I'm trying to think. I don't think Nintendo really had too much. Miyamoto came out for the Ubisoft
was cool.
For Starlink, and that was neat. Like, we don't see a lot of we see a lot of Miyamoto, but I wanted them to announce something with Zelda, but because we just got Zelda, I live for Twilight Princess Zelda, like, and more adult Link,
a more contemporary kind of thing.
Yeah, like I like the realism of that. And it's not like I didn't like Breath of the Wild. Like, I don't think there's anyone out there that hates Breath of the Wild. Like, unless people are just contrarian. You know? Like, it objectively, it accomplished everything a good game's supposed to accomplish.
Breath of the Wild has a stagnation point for me.
Yeah.
Because once you have completed everything, I don't know why I need to do this unless I start a brand new game.
Yeah.
Which I might do one day. Yeah. I haven't beaten it yet. Oh, my goodness. But, that's from
now.
Nintendo. They had some stuff from some smaller studios. I've seen a little bit from them. There was one called Greedfall that caught my eye a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was an RPG kind of taking place in kind of a 17th century meets magic, which could be very interesting. Of course, there was some other PC. They had some PC showings and stuff like that. A little bit more from Battlefield 5 and stuff like that, and Anthem. The thing that, now that I know this, the next thing I want to talk about kind of ties into E3 in a weird way. There was a YouTube channel I've discovered, and this is something I want to talk to you about, and I watched it. I watched an hour and 30-minute documentary. There's a YouTube channel called No Clip. I fully recommend you guys out there watching it. They do documentaries about game studios, everything. Like, literally, like, the documentaries you watch, it's about, the one I watched, which an hour and 30 minutes, was Bethesda.
Okay.
And they're interviewing Todd Howard and these guys that have been there forever. The guy who wrote The Arrow in the Knee line, they're talking to him about it. And how he was just writing dialogue one night just with 40, 60-something other lines, and he never gave it a second thought.
Just threw one in there, and it turned out internet gold.
Internet gold. He's like, I can't believe – for the life of me, I don't know. I could never have predicted.
People think that that's like – I hope people don't think, at least, that that's a negative thing. Like, mm-hmm. that whenever games turn into memes – That is signifying that forever this game, no matter what type of game it is, that it's at some point
it's immortalized.
It's in the annals of history. Yeah, it's forever there. Even something as I was explaining to somebody Mass Effect Andromeda and the ride that was, and I said, you know, the best thing about that game is that there are memes that we probably won't use them so much in 5 years anymore, but mm-hmm. someone will say, like, oh, my face is tired.
When you got to run to take a poop, and it's that when she's got that half squat, weird run cycle broken.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but I'll remember Mass Effect Andromeda, even though I never touched it once.
Right. Because it was such a splash in a lot of ways. Maybe not a lot of good ways, but in a lot of ways. No Clip, two words, right? For the
No Clip, one word. It's the YouTube channel and everything like that. So definitely check it out. I watched the
documentary. Not Clip.
Not Clip. No Clip.
No Clip.
N-O-C-L-I-P.
Okay.
But it's like your drill sergeant telling you it's not a clip, it's a magazine kind of thing.
No Clip, it's a magazine.
Yeah.
Someone was in ROTC.
Yeah. No, my dad did that.
Oh, okay.
But the reason why that – the way that brings back to E3 The documentary they did on Bethesda is fairly recent. They are talking about Fallout 76 and how that game's going to work and how the struggle they're having with it and everything, and how the new way of thinking, which to me, if you don't like online and stuff like that, that's fine. But here's one of the things you do need to appreciate. And I think this what this documentary will do for you is it made me appreciate that Bethesda is in uncharted waters. Bethesda is trying something very different from what they do, which is an online game with servers and stuff like that. And Todd Howard talks about, like, we didn't know any of that because we've never done anything like that.
That
the whole
is true,
system,
you know.
Is based off, like, they actually go into the dynamics of the game on what they called the players literally called Atlas. The reason why they call him Atlas, he holds up the world. Wherever he's at, that's where the game's loaded. If he's over here in this building, that's where the game loaded. The world exists where the player exists. But when you start taking that away and you've got multiple people where the world has to exist in multiple places for people, now all of a sudden you have to rethink your entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And this documentary, when they were talking about it, I'm like, wow, they really did have to bring in, and they had to bring in new people who worked in Ultima Online,
like MMO,
and
MMO
Star
spaces,
Wars, The Old Republic,
yeah.
The thing, and working in the spaces. And they were
those
talking,
people definitely needed a job.
Right. And they're sitting there at desk, and Todd Howard is like talking. He's like, I was looking around the left side of the, and they're talking about like servers and cache. And I'm just like, it's like the first time in a long time. He's like, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Right.
And it was like very interesting to see, like, even if you don't like the idea of this or whatever, and you would like a standalone Fallout game, I appreciate the fact that Bethesda is going into a direction they've never ever gone before. It was something they talked about and got excited for it. And rather than saying, Todd Howard's probably one of the best guys out there as far as he goes, there's a million reasons why you don't want to do something. Like, we're worried about this, we're worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also that worry. It's like, I'm worried it's going to be boring.
That's sort of the thing. They could have definitely played it safe and made Fallout 76 a single player experience.
I don't think I would have been excited for it.
I don't know that I wouldn't have been excited or I wouldn't have enjoyed it, but you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
It's possible that we look back on this show in a year.
They go, what a horrible piece of garbage Fallout 76 was. Or we can look back on it and go, like,
right,
man, that really like surprised us and blew our mind.
Yeah,
kind of
and I look forward to, you know, it's one of those weird pessimistic things where it's like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And if I'm right, then, well, at least I'm right. Consolation
Congratulations,
prize.
You're right.
Or
but
if I'm wrong, I am happily wrong, and this is something I'm happy with.
Do you suspect that it's going to not do well? Or what
no,
do you think?
No, I think Bethesda. So Bethesda isn't going to pull an EA or a BioWare Montreal.
Oh, no, no,
they,
no.
They're going to stick with their products.
There is microtransactions in the game, but they have been very clear that it's to support free DLC updates. Mm-hmm.
That is one of the best things about
and
Bethesda
everything you
games.
Can get in game.
Bethesda games have, for the in as long as I can realistically remember, Fallout, Skyrim, mm-hmm. those games have been moddable by the community for
yes.
the community. And whenever you take the community out of it and you put servers there, mm-hmm. and not privately run servers by the community for the community, but by Bethesda for the community,
right.
you take away the ability to change the game because you don't want the game to be unbalanced
for
people,
or somebody,
you know,
doing something.
So that is something I am really, 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 and I can keep saying really for dramatic effect, leery about.
Right.
I love being able to try out new mods. I love watching YouTube channels where people try out mods and demo mods and use stupid mods.
Well, the
it's fun.
They are saying that right as of for launch, public servers are going to be where it's at, but there will be private servers you can do stuff with and everything.
But those
like
private
that.
Servers are probably going to be run by Bethesda.
That's
going to be private IP, private code.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, what level of freedom do I have with this?
Yeah.
And you're right. And that is something I didn't think about, is that the mod community does have a big hand in this.
What are we going to do? I mean, the Nexus isn't going to go away because people still play Skyrim, you know.
Elder Scrolls Online,
regular Skyrim.
Oh, regular Skyrim,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they play Skyrim. So it's gonna persist for all the games it's currently working for. And it's not just right. Bethesda games now. I mean, Andromeda had mods. Witcher 3 has mods. Like, and mm-hmm. it's all through, you know, in the Nexus. So I know that community is still going to flourish. I don't want that community of mod makers to just pick up and go to a different game because they can't go to this game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this game to suffer because it doesn't have community mod support.
Okay.
When everything else has either had community mod support or it wasn't explicitly blocked.
Now, my question, I would, personally, if I was Bethesda, I would be, okay, I understand your desire for mods. Mm-hmm. We're trying our first online game. If we do it and we got it down pack, we will look at that and try to incorporate that later. Right now, we just need to get this thing functioning.
It's
their first try.
There's you're absolutely right. There's something to be said about the attempt, and there's something to be said about the goodwill that they are doing. They tried to do paid for mods. Right. That was terrible. And they did not, they decided to just not do that again. And then they did it again. And then they decided, okay, no, really, we're not going to do it again. They had the Creation Club where, you know, for mods can be on consoles, which was great. That was a way of modders going through an official avenue. And you could still do the Creation Club in PC, but you always use the Nexus because that's just how it works.
Yeah.
The best thing that they could do is to let the client side be client side and the server side be server side and let the game mechanics sort of what WoW does. You can change the way that WoW's UI looks. You can change the way that WoW's display, like the information that displays to you within the game's API. And all of those mods and plugins use the game's API that they gave to you. Destiny 2 does a similar thing. With the item manager or any of the companion apps, what I would want to see is a way to either swap in or out models, like we've done previously, or change the way the game looks or plays, but doesn't actually change the effect that you have on the world or the world's effect on you.
Right, and they have a very good, from what I've been hearing and watching the documentary, I think they have their head in the right place with what they want to do. They were talking about, you know, this is going to be very different because over the life of this game, we're going to be constantly updating it and adding content. And they were talking about a very smart idea, which was where all of the big content, all of that's going to be free. And that they're going to go, there's going to be these milestones we're going to be going towards, but it's going to be like little jump, little jump, little jump. And then there's two separate teams that are going to be, one's doing the little stuff, and then there's going to be one that'll be working, you know, that'll drop like something that'll a little bit bigger and like
the big deal.
The 4-month period or 8-month period, they'll drop kind of the heavy stuff.
And this was all in the documentary.
Okay. All on NoClip, man.
I'm probably going to watch that tonight because I.
It made me excited
Not even at my house anymore, so I don't play video games.
Like you
currently.
Said, I was tentative for a few episodes ago. I was tentative about Fallout 76. Now that I see kind of that the mentality is in the right place, they seem to be wanting to do this right and everything. They have a very good hand. One of the things I was kind of going to the documentary is if one of the things I found out was, wait, there's no AI, and they said there's no raiders. Who am I going to get into a firefight with? Right. I want to shoot at people. And I was watching the documentary. There is a separate group of semi-sentient ghouls called Scorchers, and they have guns and everything like that.
I'm going to watch the documentary. I'm probably going to do that tonight. But I'm curious as to why they've made the decision to not do any human NPCs or anything. I don't know if maybe it's the only humans you see are other actual real humans. Like that's just sort of the standpoint that they're taking, the, you know, the line in the sand they drew for themselves, or if there's a story mechanic, or if that's coming later. Because I can see something where it's like when this thing is full of people, it's amazing. There's so many people out there. The wasteland doesn't feel so lonely, even though that's one of those things in Fallout that I liked where. All right, if I see somebody, they're either going to be friendly and they're a caravan and I can trade with them, or they're going to be raiders and they're going to try to shoot me and kill me. I was always on edge, like who that was or whatever. I don't know that Fallout in a PvP's open, boys, just take them down. You know, I don't want open world PvP. I think that's hard.
Right.
Especially with Fallout mechanics where, you know, you had like the VAT system. Where you could, you know, pause and kind of go into this slow-mo and pick your shots, that kind of needs to go away, or there needs to be some sort of way of saying, okay, well, now you guys are in combat. VATS is acceptable. Go ahead and make this from a real-time, you know, first-person shooter, third-person shooter to a turn-based third-person / first-person shooter. There's a lot of hurdles that they have to go through and get away from some of the mechanics that they've built up in previous Fallout games. And there's no other team. You know, maybe them and Obsidian are the best teams for this. Obsidian's not on it, but I wish they would be. Or at the very least, I wish Obsidian would make another single-player Fallout game at the same time. That would be really nice.
Right.
Because then people, you know, one, the IP makes money for the developer and for the producer and for the distributor. I don't know. There are a lot of mechanics that have been in every Fallout game, the mainstream Fallout game since 3, that I don't know that would really work in 76. Vats is one of them.
Yeah, well, Vats is in real time and everything. There's no slow motion at all with Vats now. And that's a, well, how will this work?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, though. I mean, if Vats is in real, because is that in the documentary as well?
They didn't really talk about Vats too much.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, if Vats is in slow motion, or if Vats isn't slow motion or paused or whatever, then as another player fighting another player, like if I'm a person and I'm fighting you in Fallout 76, and I try to go into Vats and I try to, you know, shoot at you, there's protection on your head. And this was one of this. I know this because in New Vegas, it's like the very first mod I install is like better crits. And it's all around. It's I have to protect myself and get good armor. Mm-hmm. I can't run around in my underwear because if I get shot in the leg, like it's chance if they shoot me with a 30-06, my leg's gonna fly off. Like, you know, so I need to protect myself. If I get shot in the head, I expect to die unless I have a helmet on. And then I expect to get two shots in the head and I die. It's hard to then make a game that is both fun but not arcadey.
Yeah.
And yet respectful of the previous material and the source material and the ecosystem and the environment. So they've got a lot of challenges ahead of them. I'm going to watch NoClip's documentary on it. That's pretty cool. It'll probably be one of those, hopefully one of those YouTube channels. I've recently gotten in the habit of subscribing to a bunch of YouTube channels with notifications. So I get to see a bunch of new content because I got the cable a long time ago. I don't have TV.
Oh yeah, no, me neither. Just YouTube.
Let's play a song. Let's come back and let's talk about more stuff. This is Gates by DaVinci's Notebook. Come back after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Working on a laptop close to the end of a job I've been doing since 10:30. I don't finally find his little skinny behind. Gonna kick it all over this town.
Welcome back to the Experience Points radio show. My name is MG, and you just heard the Gates by DaVinci's Notebook. This is actually a weird thing that we typically don't do on the show. We had a technical glitch, and previously in the show we were talking about how it's Tuesday and we record on Tuesdays now, and that, you know, Dustin and I were here, we were talking about something, but something happened in the last 10 minutes of the show. Actually had an error. There was a problem with the audio and it cut out, and for whatever reason we lost that audio and Dustin had to leave, so we couldn't re-record it. And we were going to try to redo it today, but then things got pushed, and eventually now here we are towards the end of the day and we don't have time to re-record that 10 minutes of audio. So Dustin isn't in the studio anymore. It's just me here, and now I'm here explaining, you know, this stuff to you guys. So sorry about that, but you know, we're gonna wrap it up and play a couple more songs, and that'll kind of be it. I did want to approach one topic that Dustin and I were talking about by ourselves, and with another member of the radio station about, and that's the Chloe Dykstra, Chris Hardwick issues that have been coming up in the media now. For those that don't know, Chloe Dykstra is the daughter of a prominent Hollywood effects artist. I think his name's Ford Dykstra, or I don't know, Frank Dykstra. It doesn't really matter. He or Leon Dykstra. It doesn't matter. Dykstra's an interesting last name, though. She was part of the con circuit. She would go to these conventions. She would cosplay. She'd dress up. And to my knowledge, I don't think she is a video gamer. I think she is more of a fan that participates in cons. She follows the con circuits. And back in the 90s or 2000s or whatever, you know, a while back, she went to a convention and Chris Hardwick was there. People that don't know, Chris Hardwick founded and was a big contributor for Nerdist and now does The Talking Dead, Talking Bad for AMC. She fell in love with this guy and they were in a relationship, and then at the end of it, they split up and they went their separate ways. Chris Hardwick got married and has kids. I think he has kids. I can't really remember. Again, I don't really follow Chris Hardwick. But the story blew up recently because Chloe Dykstra recently filed an essay, sort of a long-form essay about this unnamed relation or this relationship with an unnamed person, and all these terrible things that kind of went on, where it doesn't look like there was physical abuse, as in, you know, beating her or whatever, but it does look like there was some sexual abuse and there were some, you know, some very controlling tendencies. And everyone sort of across the internet knows and assumes that she is referring to Hardwick specifically, Chris Hardwick. That specifically, I think, because of a line. One, everyone knows that they were dating. Two, they know that she references that he went from taking a passion and an obsession or whatever and transforming that into a very lucrative and very successful company. That's exactly what Chris Hardwick did. So there are a lot of telltale signs pointing towards that thing. The crazy or maybe not so crazy thing is that with the Me Too movement out there, and I'm not saying this in a negative light or anything, but what has happened is that everyone out there has publicly been distancing themselves from Chris Hardwick. Now, this Chloe Dykstra doesn't have any evidence other than her word, and she isn't explicitly saying Chris Hardwick. I don't think at this point in time, it's 4:11 on a Wednesday, I don't think she said that it's him specifically, but you never know. She may come out and say, like, oh, yeah, it was totally him. But what's happened, she's definitely not saying it's not him. Chris Hardwick says, you know, I'm blown away by this post. It's totally surprising. I can't believe this. You know, as a father and as a husband, I don't condone the abuse of any woman. And that's all he said. But despite this, he has lost the AMC Talking Dead deal. That's I believe that's canned, or that certainly paused until further investigation. They've stripped him from the Nerdist site. There's a ton of negative things happened to this guy's life, and there's no evidence to prove that, or that proves that he did any of the things that she has said that he has done. Definitely seems like a court of public opinion sort of thing. So I'm hoping by next week that fleshes out a little bit more and does a little bit more for us so we can get some information about that. But currently that's where that story ends. So I want to kind of prime everybody. Go and do some research. Go and read about it. And I would say, you know, just understand the sources that you're reading information from might not be so unbiased. They might be completely biased towards him or towards her, depending on where you go. Because everybody's in a white knight for somebody sometimes, and it's hard until we have any facts. And sometimes, especially with cases that are long, long, long times settled, more or less settled, maybe not for her, maybe not for him, but settled, it's really difficult to sort of deal with that. But that's where we're going to end the show. We are going to be back next Wednesday from 9 to 10. Hopefully we'll be able to keep all the audio in track. We might have to go to a different room in the studios or a different studio in the radio station so that we can have different equipment or something, because, you know, we this one bit us this time. But that's where we're going to end it. I'm going to leave you with three songs. Before I do that, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap the P. I was talking to the general manager of KSLU, and we discussed that we are going to get a production sort of team on helping with the audio, because it's a lot for Dustin and I to kind of do all of that ourselves while producing this show. So we are going to get somebody. So those shows should be getting caught up. So watch iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, podcasting services, and Spotify, because we're going to be coming with a lot of stuff. I'll leave you with three songs. This is part one, Broken Bride by Ludo. We're going to follow that up with Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcourt. We're going to end it all with Prey Song. It's Replica by Miracle of Sound in celebration of Moon Crash. Really great job, guys. I'm MG. This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM. KSLU.